story here, Newsman, that is equal parts awful and hilarious.
Awful and hilarious.
Yes.
Please explain, web guy, please.
I can sort of see how it would have been terrible if it happened to you, but looking at it from a distance, kind of funny. What happened was a terrifying trailer for a new horror movie was accidentally played before the screening of the Peter Rabbit movie in a Aussie cinema. Peter Rabbit, clearly a kids' movie, so the cinema's filled with children and parents.
Yes.
Real family viewing time, Peter Rabbit. You sit through some trailers beforehand, and at a kids' movie, you'll usually see trailers for other kids' movies.
Yeah, they're often linked to the movie. So if it's a Star Wars movie or a sci-fi movie, you'll see similar movies of a similar ilk.
This,
if it's a comedy, similar.
This was not similar at all. It was a preview for a movie called Hereditary, which has been described as a new generation's The Exorcist. It's a heavy-duty horror film. The trailer that was screened included scenes of a kid banging his head bloody against a desk, a girl cutting the head off a dead bird, ants swarming a dead body. So, I mean, Peter Rabbit, you're looking at probably an age range of like, what, 3 to 10, maybe, yeah, something like that.
And during that period of their life, nothing horrific. They're watching funny movies. They're watching happy things.
Yeah, you don't want to be seeing this. I've got a small snippet of the trailer that played. You can't see the pictures, obviously, but even just hearing part of this trailer, I think will very quickly highlight how inappropriate it was. All right, I'm going to end it there. It
Tim,
actually goes for a minute and a half.
Tim, forget the kids. I'm frightened by that myself.
Yeah, of course. It's terrifying. People are all up in arms about this movie. It's a renowned horror movie that's, you know.
And the spooky bit for kids is the whole, "Mom, what's going on?" That's sort of a very sort of realistic feeling for a young kid to
Shocking.
When they're feeling uncertain and frightened.
Parents in the cinema were, well, one parent was interviewed. She said it was dreadful. Very quickly, you could tell this was not a kid's film, she says. Inside the cinema, parents were yelling at the projectionist to stop. They were trying to cover their kids' eyes and ears. Here, this is a quote. She says, "Some parents fled the cinema with their kids. A lot of the kids were upset. And if you think back to your own childhood, you remember things that scared you when you saw them for the first time." Mm. So in compensation, the theater offered some free movie passes.
But they won't want to go back. Unless they keep the lights on. That definitely would scar a kid. Like, we laugh about it, and probably equally as horrific as the scenes and the music is your parent, is your mum or dad panicking as well? That would be just as tense and scary, I reckon.
Oh, I mean, it is funny on one level, but then if I was in the cinema with like our boy, it would be awful. It really would be terrible. I don't know what I'd think. I would be trying to cover his eyes.
Because they're not passive observers, kids, are they? They're glued to the screen. The movie is a new experience for them, so they're watching everything.
Oh, well, the movie we took our boy to, he didn't blink once during the whole thing. So yeah, they're taking it in. They are absolutely taking it in. You ever see anything that scarred you for life when you were young?
I can't think of anything when I was young, but I'm still getting scarred by scary movies.
Okay.
But one I can remember was as a family, we went and saw Gremlins in the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, as an adult, it's not a overly scary movie, but my brother, I think the movie came out in 1984, so my brother would be about 5-6 years old. And it has that sort of surprise element with the creatures going from fluffy to nasty, and he couldn't handle it, so he spent the whole movie buried into mum's arm, I think. So that was quite scary for him. How about yourself?
I don't remember what it was, what the movie was. I don't even know if it was a movie, but I remember being babysat by a grandparent at a really young age. I don't even know how old I was. And there was something on the TV, like a werewolf movie or a show, and the guy turned into a werewolf at some point. And I don't know if this is actually the scene or whether in my brain it's just evolved into something way worse than it was. But even to this day, I remember the shot of this guy's werewolf head that was sort of like wounded and gory and like sort of bleeding. And I vividly remember that. And that would have to be, you know, that's probably 30 years ago.
Mm.
And I can still clear as a bell remember that image.
Now you've spoken about that genre, and I've actually Googled it and tried to find it, so I don't think it's actually a Three Stooges film, but I had memories of, I thought were the Three Stooges fighting a giant spider. But okay. Anyway, any movie with a giant spider when I was a kid really freaked me out. I'm still not easy around the eight-legged creatures, but yeah, that image still sticks in my mind. No longer haunts me, but
what, yes. And it was the Three Stooges?
No, I've looked into it.
Because you can't imagine them doing it in a scary way. There'd be, you know, comical sound effects. And
yes.
They would end up hurting each other, would have been the, yeah, would have been the thing. No, the spider would get away.
But it was probably, looking back, one of those really crude stop-start clay animation type figures. But okay. So I don't know how it scared me so much. Can I run you through another few movies that I was a bit older, but it still scared me for some reason?
Yeah, go ahead.
So have you seen the movie Three Men and a Baby?
Tom Selleck?
Yes. Yeah. So it's actually a comedy about, you know, it was in the 80s, so it was unheard of for men to look after a baby and be able to survive. But
yeah,
there was this rumor going around that there was a ghost caught on camera in Three Men and a Baby. So my brother and I were skeptics about this, but we had it on VHS, so we popped it in the machine and fast forwarded to the scene where we thought this would occur, and lo and behold, there was a figure in the background.
Yikes.
So
I've never heard about this.
So you Google it, you'll find it.
Has it been debunked?
I think it was just like, you know, when you get a cutout of a famous sports person or something and you put it in the window?
Okay.
Yeah, it was just that,
oh,
I think.
God.
But still, because we were so sure that it was, you know, a lie, a myth, and we found this scene, both of us had sleepless nights that night.
As a kid, I remember a lot of the schoolyard chat was around Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm.
And like in the confused schoolyard chatter, because I don't know how many kids have actually seen it. I certainly hadn't seen it. But we all sort of were under the impression that it was real footage from a real event. And it was only very much later that I realized that that was a movie, fictional movie. Even now, I sort of wonder, was it based on something that happened? I don't know. I don't think so. But even now, it's a bit murky for me. But in the schoolyard, I thought there had been footage taken of a guy with a chainsaw going crazy. And to me, that was the scariest thing that anyone could ever see.
Other movies that have spooked me out recently, like, so I've been a grown man, some may debate that, the Woman in Black and Shining, I was watching. I'd heard the name of the film and didn't really know much about it. Was watching it in my little flat in Loxton in the Revland by myself, okay. A little bit overtired, and yeah, I felt a bit creepy going to bed that night.
I've seen that. What's The Woman in Black?
It's basically a haunted house style film.
Okay,
but it's just that tension, and it's the music, it's the old antique toys activating themselves, that sort of dolls with those funny clicky eyes that drop down.
The music has a lot to answer.
Yeah, I was going to say music. What else is it about the films that spook people out, especially kids?
I don't know. Is it Deliverance where there's that famous fiddle music or something? That's going to scare anyone, let alone kids. But I don't know.
I think for kids, as I mentioned sort of earlier, most of their life is surrounded by warmth, happiness, love.
Mm-hmm.
And to be deliberately shown something that makes you uneasy and plays on your fears and emotions is very unsettling because it's, I guess, a first. It's an experience you haven't felt before.
So takeaway, don't show the Hereditary preview to your 3-year-old. And probably don't even take them to the full-length feature either.
And Peter Rabbit for Forevermore will be a scary link for many of those kids.
Looking at a story here, Newsman, which has a lot of juicy elements.
Now, you've shown me the headline. I have no idea what the content of the story is, but it's sure to grab everyone's attention.
It's got a celebrity. It's got salacious details.
Spam that we many people would receive, I would say.
Okay.
Maybe not.
It's got it's got Facebook, fake news, all the stuff we're talking about these days. Here it is. It reads like this. Eddie Maguire vows to sue Facebook over erectile dysfunction fake news.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been caught up in this perfect storm of 2018 issues. Webpage completely false, set up to look like a GQ magazine website. With an article of Eddie Maguire spruiking this erectile dysfunction medication that he's developed. He developed it.
With all his spare time.
In partnership with Dr. Phil.
Oh, okay.
So I'll just quote a little bit from there. And people talk about fake news a lot. This is fake, that's fake. Initially, it was used to describe just, you know, blatant lies that were, you know, intentionally meant to mislead. It wasn't like, you know, now we call, you know, someone's opinion that we don't like is fake news. But the real definition is like blatant lies intentionally just made up.
And in terms of blatant, on the Richter scale, this would be a 10, I'm guessing.
Yeah, doesn't get much better than this. Here's what Eddie Maguire supposedly said, is quoted as saying in this fake article, talking about I'm having a mental blank on the medication to fix a problem.
A condition? A remedy?
Yeah, remedy. Let's call it a remedy for erectile dysfunction. Boy, can I tell you, this stuff is potent, Maguire says in the article. I've tried Viagra. I've tried red ginseng. I've tried Cialis. Trivexin, which is the name of this one, blows them all away. I am so confident in the product Dr. Phil and I have created that I am offering free samples to our viewers. I wouldn't talk about something on air I don't believe and haven't tried for myself.
Well, there you go. How do these... So who would put this forward? Obviously, the people trying to flog the product just slot in Eddie's name. They see him as a personality of that age where this could be a issue for men. And Mudsticks, you know, it's hard, not Mudsticks, but basically, even if it's fake, and we all know it's fake, his name is now associated with it.
It is, yeah. But we also now have heard of Trivexin, which, you know, I don't even know if it's a real thing or not. But if it is, well, I've heard of it now. So not only, you know, untrue to say about Eddie Maguire, but also, as you hinted at, you know, kind of embarrassing for him as well. He is now on the warpath to sue basically everyone involved in this. You wonder, would he be as furious if it was, you know, if they were borrowing his identity to promote, you know, like a chicken brand or something?
Yeah, I don't think so. No, I think Eddie would be on the front foot with nearly anything, really.
Yeah, he'd be on the front foot. I wonder if anyone would care though, because he's come out on radio. He's saying clearly this is defamatory against me. It's illegal to use someone's likeness and purport it to be them. This is his quote. Let's go after them and let's get Facebook. He's talking tough here.
Yeah.
The thing with Facebook is they've always refused to categorize themselves as a publishing business, because if they do that, then they are legally liable for the ads that run on the platform. At this stage, they've always tried not to be pegged as a publisher, which I think, you know, gives them some distance. They're not legally liable for whatever ads run. So he's saying, is it a publisher? Question mark. They're now into news. They have Facebook news. They promulgate themselves as an upstanding citizen. It's one of the biggest companies in the world. What are the requirements for them to not defame people. I've got a big appetite to chase this one. So it's come at a bad time for Facebook as well, because they probably are on the back foot a little bit. They've been in the news for the wrong reasons. They're probably a little bit weaker now than they were. So maybe he's just going in for the kill.
What's your take on Facebook? Is it a dangerous...
Yes, it is dangerous.
It's dangerous.
It's evil and it's dangerous.
But society's hooked on it. But you're saying there's a decline in people that are interested in using it?
No, I don't think there's a decline in people using it. But I saw this interesting thing, because Mark Zuckerberg is under the pump at the moment. He's been having to testify in the US. And some old interviews or old transcripts are floating around. Actually, what it was a message he sent. This is someone who was one of the first people to sign up to Facebook, was a student at Harvard where it all started, signed up initially, and then at some point they got messages that Zuckerberg had been sending. This is back after he created it, and he was saying, look, I've got all these people's names, I've got all their addresses, I've got all their info. If you need that, just let me know. And then he even said in the message, like, why would they be giving me all this? And he actually called the people who had signed up to Facebook dumb Fs. So that was, he's no doubt evolved as a human now, but that's a pretty sordid start to a business enterprise that now touches all of our lives.
Facebook's very intrusive, but I actually like tailored advertising. I know that's a slightly different topic, but I kind of don't mind them knowing what I'm interested in. And if I have to see an advertisement, I want it to be something I'm interested in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, why not? If you got to see it. Yeah. Better. Let's put erectile dysfunction to one side for a minute.
Good.
You want to see an ad about Port Adelaide. You don't want to see an ad about how to getting your piano tuned.
That's it. Probably last year I was looking at, what do you call them, smart watches? Realised they were too expensive for my meagre budget, but there they were just popping up on my Facebook feed, and I didn't mind looking at them. Went, oh, yeah, that's how much they are. That's what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Eddie Maguire, just going back to the story, very busy man. I don't think this is going anywhere, to be honest, but he does sound pretty fired up, doesn't he?
Oh, what do you mean it's not going anywhere? You don't think he's actually going to swim?
No.
Well, stay tuned. He's got a big appetite to chase this one, he reckons.
No, when's he going to have time to do that?
His people will do it. He's not going to file the writs, I'm sure, but he'd have a team.
By the way, how do you spell trivexin? Just out of it.
As it sounds.
Tim, often in life I'm criticised for sitting on the fence, not really having an opinion on anything, and that really annoys people. People like you to have an opinion.
Shouldn't journalists not have an opinion? Wouldn't that be the ideal journalist?
Well, it's ideal for work, but just in life in general, and probably for this podcast, you need to put your hand up and say, I've got a stance on something. Well, I did that a couple of weeks ago, web guy, and I think I should go and sit back right on that fence. Now, you may recall, if you're a follower of this podcast, that we speak about The Simpsons a bit, and one of the topics that we looked on or examined was the character Apu. Do you want to run us through what the concerns were?
We just mentioned that there was this growing backlash that the Apu character was kind of an outdated and now offensive stereotype of Indians living in America.
Yes, recapping, an Indian quickie mart owner, very strong stereotypical accent for an Indian who's all about work, and not really assimilating into the American culture. Would you describe that as that character? Or
we all know Apu.
Yeah,
we all know him. I can't remember why it was in the news exactly. Oh, because they did an episode where they actually made a nod to this growing controversy,
And we're responding to a documentary.
I think that's what kind of kick-started. That was what boosted the whole push, this doco that came out. But yeah, so they referenced it in an episode. People still weren't that thrilled. Now, the latest.
Yes, well, I got on my soapbox and said, look, everyone needs to relax. There probably are some Indians in America that are hardworking, sound very Indian, and just back off from this character.
while you thought just let it play.
I thought while it's a stereotype, perhaps they could introduce other Indian characters.
Yeah.
But the now I have to backtrack because
you're backpedaling quicker than Lance Armstrong.
Because the only person that I would like to listen to on this is the person who does the voice for Apu.
Okay.
And that is Hank Azaria, who does, I heard an interview, he did an interview recently with, is it Stephen Colbert?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did an interview with him and was saying, well, I do about 25 voices on The Simpsons, yeah. Some that are regulars and yeah. Some not so, but basically he's a huge part of The Simpsons' success. He was asked about the Apu controversy and basically he was saying he was very upset that his character was offending people and that the whole debate about it had opened up his eyes to some of the sensitivities that come with stereotyping certain cultures.
He said that he sort of said he thinks he should stop doing the voice.
He went as far as saying that. Yes, he said, I am fully prepared that if that is what would right the situation, I'm happy to step back and, yeah, put that character in the past.
Seems weird that he would be the one to say that. It makes me wonder either this is the first move in, you know, the transition away from him doing the voice, or, and we'll next hear that, you know, he's not doing it anymore, or there's some tension behind the scenes that maybe the you know, showrunners are happy to keep rolling with Apu as is, and he is feeling like he doesn't want to, and he's kind of like out on his own with this a little bit. Maybe he doesn't want to do it, but he's kind of being told to.
That issue was raised. So part of an episode, Lisa and her mother Marge talking about a similar situation without mentioning Apu, but basically saying, get over it.
Mm.
And he said he was unaware that that part of the episode would be featuring. So he said he found out, like the rest of the world and the American public, when it went to air. So to me, that doesn't sound like writers and the stars are really coordinating their thoughts on this.
I guess the other thing is, who knows how far ahead they've made shows. Mm. Like they might have, you know, I don't know how many years ahead they get, probably not that far. And even if they did, they could redo the voices, no problem, I guess. But yeah, look, I think if Indian Americans say we don't want it, probably don't do it. If Hank Azaria says I don't even want to do it, just change it. Mm. Just now is the time to change it. My only hesitation is I do feel that, you know, in this case, I think it's pretty clear cut. You know, get someone else to do the voice or something. I don't know. Remove the character, whatever the right thing is, do it. But there is also another kind of debate about people's right to artistically represent people who are not, how do I say it? Artistically represent a culture that they don't belong to.
Mm.
So there's a question about, can authors write stories from the point of view of someone that is different to what they are? There's a bit of debate about that, and there's a lot of comments suggesting that, well, some people thinking that that is not allowed, and I feel like at that point, that starts to become a bit too far.
Mm.
Surely, you know, an artist can kind of, you know, put themselves in someone else's shoes and, you know, create some kind of depiction of what they think that experience is like. Who are they? The critics say, well, if a white person wants to write a story pretending they're a homosexual Aboriginal, that is not okay because homosexual Aboriginals, you don't hear any of them telling their own stories, is kind of the argument that they will say. But I don't know. Does that mean that they necessarily surely it comes, I don't know. It's a tricky one and probably not, I'm not well qualified to comment, but I feel like that's a bit of an iffy area. I'd hate to think that people, you know, that you can only represent, you know, your very small boxed in, you know, culture that you are.
Well, I'm back on the fence again, but I want to jump off again and back you in this argument.
So many fences.
And what will happen, and it's just life, it's just evolution, that people will go, well, The Simpsons is no longer pressing my buttons. It's no longer pushing the barriers. I'll go watch another one, another TV show that is, and we'll just shift their interest and their sense of humour elsewhere. Perhaps some of the crowd will be educated from that experience, but some of the Simpsons fans will go, oh, this is getting too bland and too safe. Let's move to another show.
Yeah, let's go watch... Who cares? What I mean...
Well,
let's go watch reruns of Ren and Stimpy.
But all I'm saying is there'll be another show that is pushing the boundaries, cutting edge. Mm. People will go to that.
Yeah.
And then PC will see that probably altered as well. Hank Azaria also said he'd be happy to see an Indian writer join the team and see if they can add some input. That's probably over the top, but he's really getting behind the cause.
He's a voice acting superstar. He does, you know, like you said, so many voices, a talent. He could do like a, you know, a better Indian accent, if that's the right way to put it. I mean, he could do a more, you know, a less caricatured version.
Yes.
But, I don't know, then is it weird all of a sudden Apu is just talking differently than what he has before?
I mean, as I mentioned, they either bring in another Indian character last time we spoke about it, or whether, time passes or he goes away or he just drops the act and says, hey, I want to be me now. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of debate about a cartoon series. Many of you may think, oh, we're just being petty nerds scrutinising a beloved cartoon show, but it's got bigger implications, doesn't it? As you said, are we censoring creative people, or is it right to become more educated? Who knows?